Chapter 9, A Pregnant Pause. "So, what are you going to do all weekend?" I ask Raph via my cell. Miria and I are on the train heading to Long Island.
"Talk on the phone with you?"
"Yes, besides that." Why is my knapsack rising off the floor? I glance at Miri and see her wiggling her fingers at my stuff.
"Stop meddling my things," I mouth.
She sticks out her tongue.
"My dad asked me if I could help out at the store tomorrow,"
Raph says, referring to Kosa Coats and Goods, their family's leather jacket factory store. They make their own jackets and sell them to department stores like Saks and Bloomingdale's.
"And then I'm going to Dave Nefron's party tomorrow night. Want to come?"
"Don't tease. You know I want to." Unfortunately, while I'll be stuck in the yellow meringue room that Miri and I share at my dad's, Raph will be surrounded by all the girls at JFK who wish he were their boyfriend, like Melissa Davis. "You're not allowed to talk to any other girls, okay?" Oh my God, I can't believe I said that. I didn't mean to. Miri's distracting me. He laughs.
"I'm not interested in other girls, Rachel. I'm definitely not interested in the girls at the party."
My heart rate speeds up. "Melissa will be at the party. You used to be interested in her." I keep my voice light and playful, but of course I'm dying to hear what he's going to say. We've never really talked about why he chose me over her. My knapsack starts rising again. I grab Mary's fingers and squeeze.
"Ouch!"
she whines.
"Melissa isn't a bad person,"
Raph says.
"She's just not the right person for me."
"And why not?" I hold my breath and Miri's fingers.
"We just didn't connect, you know. I was with her because we thought we should make a good couple, not because we really were a good couple. It was superficial."
Wow. That's the most intense thing Raph has ever said to me. Unfortunately, I don't have brain power to process it because Miri is wiggling her nose and making my knapsack smack me in the face.
"Rachel,"
he says,
"are you still there?"
"One sec," I tell him.
"What do you want?"
I whisper.
"I'm bored."
"One minute," I whisper.
"Then I'll get off. This is a really important conversation."
She crosses her arms and sinks back into her seat. "Sorry about that," I say calmly. "Back to what you were saying about Melissa being superficial?" He laughs.
"It's not that she's superficial. It's that we were a superficial couple. You and I have something more real. Does that make sense?"
"Absolutely," I say softly. "Something real. I like it. It being real and all."
"And I like you,"
he says. I feel my face grow warm. "Okay, it's not I love you, but it's close. Just a half step away." "I like you too," I say. I hear him clear his throat.
"Aw, how adorable. He's embarrassed."
"So, what time are you coming home on Sunday?"
he asks. 8-ish.
"Next weekend, you're in town, though, right?"
"Yep."
"Should we do something on Saturday?"
"It's a date." Miri pokes me in the side.
"We have Sam Sorta classes next weekend."
I cover the mouth of the phone.
"Miri, are you listening to my conversation?"
At least I think it's the mouth. I don't totally understand how this thing works yet.
"Learn how to adjust the volume on your phone," she snaps. "Don't blame me."
"Sam Sorta class isn't all day, is it?" I whisper. She shakes her head.
"It's from 1 to 4.
I roll my eyes. Great. Only the entire afternoon.
Can you please get off the phone already?
She begs.
I'm really bored.
I'll be one more minute, I promise.
You said that 10 minutes ago. You've been talking with Raph for an hour,
she yells, not very discreetly.
Shared minutes?
It's not like you're going to use them, I mutter. Her face crumples. Whoops. That was really mean. I'd better go.
Raph, can I call you later for my dad's?
Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Enjoy the party. But not too much. Bye. Like you. Love you.
Not that I say that last bit out loud, because I've been thinking a lot about this whole love thing, about whether or not I should say it, and I've decided that gold hearts and birthday card salutations are not the same as saying I love you. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. How could I possibly know? I'm not a boy. I don't understand the workings of the boy brain. I wish Miri were a boy. Then he'd be able to explain things to me. If Miri were a boy, she wouldn't be so sensitive. She wouldn't be ignoring me now and staring out the window. I should really be careful about making strange wishes. What if when Miri turns around, she has a beard? Sorry, I say. That was a mean thing to say about the minutes. And that I secretly wished you were a boy. But don't worry about that last part. I unwished it. She shrugs, still refusing to turn around. I drop my phone into her lap. See? I'm off. I'm all yours. Talk to me. Still nothing. Give me a break. I said I was sorry.
It's not you, she says. You're right. What's the point of me having a cell phone? I haven't used it once.
Not true. I called you at school, and you conferenced in Mom. And you called Gwendolyn to tell her that we were downstairs at her place. That's three people. She bites her lip.
My calls totaled 3 minutes.
Want to call me again now? I'm happy to chat. This train ride is totally boring. Finally, she cracks a small smile. Miri, I say, your phone is going to ring off the hook beginning next week. That's why we're doing this Sam sort of thing, right? So you can make friends. She looks into her lap.
It's not just about making friends. Do you think I'll ever have a boyfriend?
Oh my God! Miri is asking me about boys! Abracazam!
Do you have a crush I should know about? Tell me absolutely everything. She turns bright red.
There's nothing to tell. It's not like there's anyone at school who likes me.
Then they're stupid. Next. Or we could always spike their drinks. We'll put a love potion in their water bottles. Huh? Huh? I wiggle my eyebrows extra suggestively. I know how much you love potions. Or maybe we'll make you that love perfume that Mom used last year. Then you'll have a gazillion dates, just like she did. Or we can...
I changed my mind,
she says, interrupting. You want to try the love potion? I ask.
No,
she hands my cell back.
I want you to call Raph again and stop harassing me.
When we arrive, Prissy, Dad, and a pregnant Jennifer are waiting at the station. Not that she looks pregnant. She's only a couple of months in. But I can tell, I swear. Probably because she keeps rubbing her belly.
You're here!
Prissy screams, jumping up and down like she's on a trampoline.
We've been waiting and I'm hungry and...
Hi, kids!
My dad throws his arms around us.
I missed you!
We just saw you 2 weeks ago,
Miri says, giggling. I pat the bald spot on his head, my special way of saying hello.
2 weeks is too long to go without my girls, he says, and we pile into the car.
How are you feeling? I ask Jennifer. She opens her window. Oh, I'm fine. I have a little morning sickness, but it's not terrible.
Is it a girl, Mommy?
Prissy asks. She groans.
I told you, honey, I don't know.
I want a girl.
I know, honey, but it's not up to me.
I don't want a boy. No brothers. No.
A brother, huh? Maybe he could help me understand boys better. Not right away, obviously, but in a few years. Hopefully before I turn 27 and get married. The next 2 days go by at a broken broom's pace. My dad and Jennifer got me a bike. Oh, this is not a laptop. Not that I really expected a laptop. They are super expensive. But so are bikes. And I need a laptop. I don't need a bike. I don't even like biking that much. But I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I try to feign enthusiasm. Great! Thanks! Why would they get me a bike?
I know how much you used to love riding, my dad says. I thought you could take it out around here. I used to take you everywhere.
He lets his voice trail off, remembering.
Mary, we can get you one for Hanukkah if you want, so you guys can go together.
Oh, sure. She gets a choice? Maybe she can get a new laptop and I'll trade her. I'm sounding ungrateful, aren't I? It's just that I haven't ridden a bike in a million years. Besides when we flew our old canary bike into the city to magically turn it into a car. But that wasn't pleasure riding. Doesn't my dad know me better than that? Anyway, a new bike. Yay! Instead of biking, I spend the weekend worrying about the upcoming magic pop quiz. When will it be? What if my dad is involved? What if they turn him into a frog and I have to reverse the spell? Surprise! You're a frog! Surprise! Your daughter's a witch! Yikes. I also teach myself how to text on my cell. I find the letters a bit confusing, but if the rest of the world can do it, so can I. But why can't I figure out how to make spaces or punctuation? I also spend a lot of time thinking about what Raph said about us being real. Are we real? How can we be real when he doesn't know my secret? Should he know the real me? Can I tell him the truth? After all, he did kind of tell me he loves me. Or at least he used the word love in connection with me. That counts, right? Almost. Fine. Maybe he's not ready for the truth now, but maybe one day? I text him Saturday night. Me. How's the party? Raph.
Boring without you. Today was more interesting.
Me. At your dad's? Raph.
Yeah. I designed a jacket.
I want to write exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, but I don't know how, so I call him instead. You what? He laughs.
I don't know. I was playing around with the sketches, and one of the designers saw it and liked it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Is that weird?
No, that's insanely cool. How is it that Raph knows how to make a jacket, and I can barely figure out how to make an exclamation point? When I dump my school bag in my locker on Monday morning, I can't help feeling uneasy. The whole idea of the pop magic quiz is still making me jumpy. I spend the entire morning looking over my shoulder. Will I be zapped away in mid-sentence? Will I need to be excused from school? Will I need props? A special witch outfit? Witch shoes? Are there special witch shoes? There are golf shoes and tennis shoes. There should probably be witch shoes. Ruby slippers, maybe? You have no idea when she's going to show up? I ask Mary that night.
It's all good. Sometime this week.
But when? During the day? In the evening?
It's all good.
If I hear one more it's all good, I'm going to zap the expression into a paddle and bop my sister over the head. Mom tells me not to worry so much. She popped over to Losatia on Saturday to check it out, and she seemed happy with it. But me, I remain a bundle of nerves for all of Tuesday and most of Wednesday. It doesn't help when, about 4 seconds after the Wednesday lunch bell rings, Gwendolyn accosts me in front of my locker.
Rachel, I need to talk to you.
She's wearing another long black velvet dress and, oh God, black satin gloves. I sigh and motion for her to follow me out of the caf and into the girls' bathroom. What's wrong? She thrusts out her gloved palm. On it is a frog. What is that? I scream.
It's a frog!
I got that, thanks. But why is it here? Oh, no. You didn't turn a teacher into a frog, did you?
No, I told you. I'm a white witch. I wouldn't do that.
Ribbit.
Someone put it in my locker.
Ribbit. Someone put a frog in your locker? I ask disbelievingly. Who would do that?
I don't know.
Her face clouds over.
It could have been that senior girl. The one who always wears one color?
My heart sinks. Cassandra?
Yeah. We discussed frogs yesterday morning.
Gwendolyn, why in the world would you discuss frogs with Cassandra?
I have to pass her locker on the way to bio. On Monday, she told me I needed a haircut. Yesterday, she spit at me.
No.
She pets the animal's head. I asked her to please leave me alone.
I groan.
But then she said if I was really a witch, I'd stop her myself by turning her into a frog or something. Tell me, why are people so obsessed with witches turning people into frogs?
I shrug. So what did you do? Turn her into a frog? I know that would break my no magic at school rule, but that chick is begging for a frog morphosis.
Of course not. I told her I was a white witch.
Yeah, I'm sure that scared her monocolored pants off.
And then? I walked away. And now I just found this.
Ribbit.
If you want her to leave you alone, you have to learn to blend in.
She looks down at her hands and sighs.
What do I do?
First of all, never tell anyone you're a witch. And remember, when you walk through those JFK doors, you're no longer a witch. You're a totally normal girl. Got it?
She opens her mouth to say something, then closes it, then opens it again.
Fine.
Good. And we have to do something about your look. I appraise her outfit.
Let me guess, she says. I need a makeover.
I take it all in. The over-the-top dress, the over-the-top gloves. No, my friend, I put my arm around her shoulder. You need a make-under. I make plans with Gwendolyn to spend Sunday shopping. I'd zap her into shape, but after what happened last time,
I'm afraid I'll somehow end up in polka dot dresses and satin gloves. By Friday, I'm hoping Matilda, whoever she is, has forgotten all about me and my pop quiz. Sorry, no Sam's order for me this year. I remain on planet denial through lunch and right into seventh period math when the recycling bin explodes into a pink puff of smoke. I scream. Of course I do. Then I wonder, why is no one else screaming? I look around the room and discover that no one can scream. They're frozen. Like at camp when the counselor calls freeze and everyone has to stay in the same position and the first person who moves cleans the table. When the cloud of pink clears, I spot a woman in the recycling bin, straightening her dress. She waves to me.
Hi, Rachel.
Matilda?
Yes, that's me. Are you ready for your test?
Is she kidding? She doesn't appear to be. She appears to be stepping out of the recycling bin. I push back my chair and stand up. Right now?
Why? Are you busy?
I look around at my frozen friends. I was kind of in the middle of math.
Don't worry. You won't miss anything. Your teacher will continue where she left off. She won't know she was paused.
Paused, huh? Cool. I didn't know we could pause time. I could pause time when I'm not done with an essay test question. I could pause time on my next birthday so it lasts even longer. I could pause time when I'm lip-locked with Raph and then experiment with different kissing positions. I need to get myself some of that pink stuff. I've never seen anyone pause time before.
And you never will. It's impossible. I just pause the people in the room.
She pulls on her earlobe.
Listen.
I hear the honks of the cabbies outside, as well as the sounds of the students on the other side of the wall.
Got it.
So it won't work on essay questions or birthdays, but it would still work on kissing. Matilda rolls up her dress sleeves.
This won't take long. I just need to make sure you qualify.
My heart speeds up. Does anyone ever not qualify? What if I don't qualify? What if I don't really have magical powers? What if everything that's happened in the last 4 months has been a figment of my imagination? What if I'm completely insane? Do insane people know they're insane? Do paused people know they're being paused? Probably no on both. Oh my God, have I ever been paused? She nods gravely.
You wouldn't be the first around here. Now, let's see. I usually try to use ingredients from around the room.
She scans the class.
I see chalk, rulers, calculators. Maybe your teacher has an apple. Don't kids bring their teachers apples?
I shrug. This is New York. Then I wonder who didn't qualify. Someone in this classroom? Someone at JFK? Miri? She better qualify. Matilda opens Ms. Barnes' desk drawer and rummages through it.
What are you doing? I blurt out. You can't go through her drawer.
Uh-oh. I'm for sure getting witch detention for insubordination. I wonder what witch detention is. There are so many options. They could lock you in a dungeon or zap you over to Kenya. They could trap you in the Civil War if they wanted to. Would I get a hoop dress? Matilda chuckles.
A witch with a conscience, she says. Impressive. How about this, then?
She snaps her fingers, and the entire contents of Miss Barnes' private drawer are now on display on top of her desk.
Now we're not going through her drawer.
Creative way of solving the problem. I think I'll shut up now.
Let's see. We have a packet of crackers, a Twix bar. We can work with this. Rachel, Please turn to page 753 in your copy of your spell book.
I stall. You mean the authorized and absolute reference handbook to astonishing spells, astounding potions, and history of witchcraft since the beginning of time?
Matilda raises an eyebrow.
That would be the one.
Here?
Of course here.
Oopsies. I didn't bring it to school.
She clucks her tongue.
Even on test day?
I didn't know it was test day.
I've been waiting all week for test day.
Should I zap it here?
No, I shall write out the spell.
She zaps the board, and the equation I was in the middle of copying disappears. She lifts her finger and magically inscribes on the board, in what I hope is chalk and not permanent white marker, one half piece of colored chalk, one piece of chocolate, one cup. Place chocolate in cup. Crush chalk and sprinkle on top of chocolate while chanting, "You shall bake a chocolate cake. Make it hasty, colorful, and tasty." I reread the spell and peek at the clock. The period is going to end in about 2 minutes. What if I don't finish in time? What if the kids in next period rush in and see Pausapalooza?
Take your time, Matilda says.
Not. I hurry to the desk and pick up a piece of green chalk, Ms. Barnes' chocolate bar.
Sorry, Ms. B, I'll get you a new one, promise.
And her coffee mug. I dump her coffee into the garbage can and carry all three elements back to my desk. I unwrap the chocolate, drop it into the mug. Time to crush the chalk. Need something hard. Calculator? I pick up my calculator, stand the chalk up, and attempt to grind it into my desk. Not bad. Once done, I slide the chalk into my palm and then recite the spell while sprinkling the chalk into the cup. The room gets cold, and the ingredients contract, swirl, and begin to expand.
Kabam!
A small chocolate cupcake materializes on my desk. On it, in tiny green frosting, is written, "See you on Saturday."
Wahoo! Matilda claps. Congratulations, Rachel! I'm looking forward to teaching you this fall.
With that, she steps back into the recycling bin, tosses the pink powder into the air, and immediately disappears. I guess that's it.
Well done, me.
Everyone in the room unpauses, including Ms. Barnes, who now looks thoroughly perplexed, because instead of a math equation on the board, there is a baking spell. Not to mention that the contents of her drawer are on top of her desk on display. Minus one chocolate bar.
What?
She begins. I focus on the board and think. The spell looks obscene. Let the board be wiped clean. As if people aren't confused enough, a gush of cold air storms through the room and the spell disappears from the board. Tammy points to my desk. No, to the cupcake on my desk. Whoops.
Want some?
I offer. She shakes her head, clearly confused. I shrug, and then I gobble it up. Yum. What can I say? Must get rid of the evidence.
So? I say, dropping my knapsack on the kitchen floor after school. Did you pass? Did she show up during social studies? Did she use the pink pausing dust?
Miri is slumped in a chair, her socked feet up on the table.
She showed up during lunch. She froze the entire cafeteria for 15 minutes.
No way.
Way?
When she unfroze them, the bell rang, and no one understood what happened to their lunch period.
She giggles.
It was super awesome.
Super awesome? I repeat with a laugh.
Yes. Admit it. You're excited.
I'm not admitting anything, I say, sitting down beside her. I'm reserving judgment till tomorrow. She rolls her eyes.
Speaking of tomorrow, I don't want to be late. Class starts at 1. So let's plan on being there for 12:30. We'll transport, of course, since it's in Arizona. I'd like to leave at 12, okay?
Okay, I say, bopping in my chair. Okay, fine. I'm a little excited. Maybe class will be fun. It might even be awesome. Or super awesome.
I hope we can take notes,
Mary says, eyes dreamy. Or super geeky.